Welcome to the South Elkhorn Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the weekly messages. For bulletin material, reflection guides, and other resources, visit southelkhorncc.org. Like clockwork, each and every week, in calculus class, in high school, we heard that sound. I hear some knowing sounds over here. One particular young woman who is a friend of mine and who had no problem. She was just bouncy, with full of energy, and had no problem letting her voice be heard. And she had no problem letting her voice be heard when it came to calculus class. And so week in and week out, we expected what we had come to call the wail of the walrus. Just this deep, guttural groan. Usually it was frustration around some particular problem. And like clockwork, this wise, knowing teacher simply said, "I'm listening. I'm listening." And of course, she would say, "Come, I need some help, I need some help, I need some help." Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, "I'm listening." We did some listening this morning, which was beautiful and wonderful and spoke to my soul. Because as much as I know the power and the value and the importance of listening, it is an easy thing to overlook and to miss. Listening is hard work. And it's important that we learn to practice that together as we listen to Scripture, as we listen to the messages of the table, as we listen to music, as we listen to one another. And I pray this morning that our time together might bless us with the opportunity and the meaning of listening. God, I'm listening. Let's read together, and perhaps listen to the guttural sounds of this passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 8. Reading verses 19 and then 21 through 22. "For the creation waits," Paul writes, "with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." The Word of God for the people of God. Perhaps it's a dance. Perhaps it's a dance. Over the last few weeks, we've been engaging with this idea of the creative life of God, the creative process of God. The sermon series has been inspired by a book by Tony Bronsett called Drawn In, Embracing and Engaging the Creative Life. The idea is that God, who is the creator, especially as seen in the beautiful Hebrew poetry of Genesis 1, God, who is the creator, if God creates us as the image of God, then we ourselves are gifted with the very creativity of God. And so to be faithful to who we are, to be faithful to God, is to cultivate and nourish our creativity. Tony Bronsick speaks about waves of creativity as seen or discerned in the Hebrew poetry of Genesis 1, that God, who is so full of love, full to overflowing with love, can't help but make more that God might enjoy that love all the more. So God, with a dream forged and fueled by love, begins to create. And yet before God ever does anything of active creation, first God does this surprising thing, the Spirit of God, the Ruach, the breath, the Spirit, the wind of God. She, Ruach is feminine, she hovers over the waters, the chaos of the deep. And God, hovering over the waters, over the chaos of the deep, waits, doesn't rush in, doesn't force creativity, but perhaps discerns the right time and the right way for the next creative step. In other creation stories, there are scenes of violence and death and destruction, out of which, from the carnage of that, creation emerges. But in the story in Genesis 1, we get God who creates, who waits, and then who creates with the peace of a word. Not coercing the chaos, but luring it in with the love of a word. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. God dreams, God hovers, God risks a creative word that doesn't impose God's will, but instead calls forth God's love. Let there be light, and there was light, and the light was good. Well, this morning we're going to be examining this fourth wave that Tony Bronsick brings before us, listening. Listening. And if we read between the lines, if we dive into the Genesis 1 passage, we'll see that creation has a voice that God is attentive to, that God seems to be responding to, paying attention to. And this idea of creation having a voice is testified to in Scripture over and over and over again. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Jesus, in Luke's gospel, is marching into or triumphantly entering into Jerusalem. And as the throng of crowds is celebrating and shouting, he's told to quiet them down and shut them up. And Jesus says, even if I do, the rocks themselves will cry out. And we read from St. Paul that all creation, the whole cosmos, groans. There's a voice to creation that God pays attention to, that God listens to, that God is sensitive to, that God responds to. And so as God creates, as God says, let there be light, and there was light, as God creates the heavens above and the earth below, the sky, the sea, the land, it's as if the emptiness of those things call upon God to create again. And so God, working with the material of creation like a well-tuned potter, responds to the contours of clay, begins to create more, filling the skies with the flutter of wings and the sparkle of stars, the sea below teeming with fish and the vibrancy of vegetation filling the earth. God is tuned in. God's listening. Creation has a voice that God hears and responds to. Well, Tony Bronsick speaks about these movements as waves, but I've been thinking about that this week, and while I'm not a particularly good dancer, I began to see it almost as a kind of dance. There are these different movements. The first, more active, God dreams and God steps in with a dream forged and fueled by love, and then God steps back as God hovers and receives the chaos of the waters of the deep. And then God steps in again, and God risks a creative word. And then God steps back again, and God listens for the next best beautiful thing. This morning, I want to invite you deeper into the dance of God's creativity. That we are called as people of faith to embrace and nurture a creative life that is a kind of dance that includes dreaming and hovering, and risking, and listening. That even whether we're an artist who is crafting a song, or who is playing an instrument, or who's making a work of art, or whether we are perhaps not as artistic in that way, nevertheless, we are artists of our lives. We are people who are mending and molding communities, families. We are called into a creative life in whatever way we live our lives. And so I want to invite you deeper into the dance of activity and receptivity. And today, that includes listening. Listening. Our second scripture reading connects to the first in a strange and beautiful way. And lifts up a theme in Jesus' ministry, his teaching, his life and work that never ceases to draw me in and confound me and inspire me. Jesus continually calls those who are with him to see and to hear, to pay attention, to listen, to notice, to attend. So join me in reading Mark chapter 8, reading verses 11 through 21. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed, dare I translate it with the same or similar Greek word, groaned deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, he went across to the other side. Now, the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread with them on this boat trip, and they had still one loaf of bread with them in the boat. And Jesus cautioned them, saying, watch out. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. And they said to one another, oh, he's chastising us because we forgot to bring bread. And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, you guys still don't get it, do you? Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect? They said to him, 12. And the seven for the four pieces, and the seven for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect? And they said to him, 7. Then he said to them, don't you get it? Do you not yet understand? Once more, the word of God for the people of God. Well, don't you get it? Don't you understand? The disciples in Mark's gospel continually don't get it. So much so, I've been charmed by the description of them by one commentator. He calls them the dunderheads. They just don't get it. They keep not getting it. They seem so incredibly dense. Despite Jesus continually saying, let me connect the dots for you, they continue not to get it. Now, I find this heartening and encouraging because I identify with the disciples. I find myself more often than I'd like to admit just not getting it. And maybe there are reasons that are outside my control that it takes time to understand people, things, ourselves, the world around us. And yet sometimes it's because I'm just not paying attention. I'm not listening. What I love about this passage of Scripture is that Jesus doesn't give up on his disciples. Jesus continues to remind them that they have eyes with which they are meant to see, and ears with which they are meant to hear, and more importantly, hearts with which they are meant to perceive and understand. Now, it's become preacherly cliche and perhaps life advice cliche to say there's a difference between hearing words and listening to what is said. You've probably heard that before. And sometimes cliches are true. And I think it's important here that we know that the disciples were hearing what Jesus was saying and yet were so stuck on themselves and what they did or didn't do, they couldn't understand who Jesus was and what he was trying to share with them about what had just taken place with the Pharisees just a moment ago. There in that moment, religious leaders had come to Jesus and said, prove yourself, give us a sign, you know, make it obvious, make it known. And Jesus says, that's not how this is going to work. I'm not just going to give you some heavenly pyrotechnics so that you don't have to do any work. That's not how God works. That's not how this is happening. You've got to see in what I'm doing, in what I care about, in what I'm committed to, and how I'm healing people and helping people and feeding people. You've got to see in that. That's your sign. You've got to be able to see that's what God is all about, and that's what my ministry is all about, and that is what the new age, the new era, the new creation is all about. I'm not going to give you some heavenly pyrotechnics, at least not in this way. Don't you get it? Can't you see, hear, notice? Jesus is inviting the religious leaders of that time to pay attention. Well, then Jesus gets in the boat with his crew, and they're not paying attention either. And Jesus continues to say, do you not have ears to hear and eyes to see? Don't just listen to my words. Sense what I'm all about. See what it is that I care about. Reach deeper into what's going on. Did you see the abundance of what was left over when I fed the crowds? Do you not see that God is abundant and wants to meet the needs of people, all people? Don't get stuck in the way the other religious leaders are stuck. Listening. Listening is not just about the words that are shared. It's about understanding. It's about connecting. It's about learning. It's about curiosity and growth. It's not about an agenda. It's not about listening to respond, listening to react. It's about listening to learn. And I would say, even further than some of those things you might have heard said before, that the way of faith invites us to listen to love. To listen to love what God loves in other people. To love what God loves in creation itself, to love what God loves in us. That listening is about tuning our hearts to the heart of God. And that is incredibly hard work. I remember when little people first came to live at my house. And I remember some playtime that was happening in the backyard, and I quickly discovered that one of my little ones didn't quite understand the phrase, but sure said it a lot. Daddy, Daddy, see me, see me, see me. And I would continually correct as this little one would go down the slide or jump on the trampoline or climb a tree and wanted my attention. I would say, yes, and it's watch me, watch me, watch me. Because I'm a good dad and I want my kids to use the phrases that, you know, make the most sense and work best. As I was reading scripture this week and that story came to me, I realized that my child had done something powerful and true that I had missed. See me. Don't just watch me, Dad. See me. See me. The adventure of faith is learning to see, it's learning to hear, it's learning to listen as God listens and sees and hears, learning to see people beyond the labels that they are given. I was listening yet again to another person lament the state of our culture and society, where labels have become the engine of hatred, have become the fuel of division and polarization that allows us to dismiss each other and do anything but listen. With all that is before us, with all that it confronts us as a people during this time, I won't pretend that simply listening to someone is going to make it all better, but I know that it'll never get better if we don't listen to each other. See me. See me. When I was on sabbatical last year, one of the things I realized was that I needed to listen to myself a little bit more, a little bit more deeply. That creation has a voice, that other people have voices, and that we ourselves, grown inwardly, we have our own voices, our own turmoil, our own trouble, our own beauty and joy, hopes and dreams. And perhaps one of the most difficult things about sabbatical for me was slowing down long enough to listen to myself, to the cacophony of groans that I didn't know the meaning of. And yet to listen to those inward groans, aching for redemption and new life. Listen. See me. Hear me. The dance of creativity is difficult, and yet there's something beautiful about the alternating steps of leaning in and dreaming, of stepping back and hovering, of leaning in and risking, of stepping back and listening. I suspect in different seasons of our lives, we might find ourselves more firmly in one of those steps. And yet all those steps matter in every stage of life. And perhaps the the step of listening matters incredibly at this moment for us as a people of faith, for you and I individually. Indeed, Paul Tillich writes that the first duty of love is to listen. And because I've listened to those who have corrected my quotes, I fact-checked that and Paul Tillich didn't say it. He actually said something very much like it, and it's much better formulated that way and works better as a meme, and yet remains true. The first duty of love is to listen. And God, filled with love, listens. Listens to the cries of those who are enslaved in Egypt. Listens to the groans of creation. Listens to the cries of hurting and suffering people in the time of Jesus and in every generation since. Listens to you and to me. And invites us to listen too. Mother Teresa was asked about her prayer life. And she said that that her prayer life was defined by periods of time where she didn't say anything at all. She just listened. She prayed as a way of listening to God. And the person interviewing her said, "And what does God say?" And she said, "Oh, nothing. He listens too." This morning, I want to invite you into a dance. And if you're anything like me, you may be a little clumsy with the steps. You may fall down a time or two. And I want you to know that like Christ in the boat, who sticks with the disciples, the hand of God reaches out to you and invites you to get back up and dance again. Dreaming, hovering, risking, and this day, listening. So I want to close this morning once more with an invitation to listen. For the next few moments, to draw silent. And while we may hear sounds, the subtle sounds of being in a building like this, of being online in our homes, wherever we are, nevertheless, perhaps we might discover something. Something important. Something beautiful. Something true. Oh God, this day, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we might perceive, that we might understand, that we might love. Amen. Thanks for listening to The Message this week. Visit southelkhorncc.org, where you can download reflection and discussion guides to dig deeper into the weekly scripture and message.